this podcast is made possible by all our backers on Patreon. If you want to support It's Super Effective, you can head over to patreon.com/itssupereffective. By becoming a Patreon, you not only support the show, but you get a lot of cool rewards like stickers or our exclusive access to our Slack channel where you can chat and trade and battle with other trainers that also listen to It's Super Effective. If you enjoy what you're listening to and you want to keep enjoying what you're listening to, head over to patreon.com/itssupereffective and support the show. If not, no big deal. These episodes will always be free, but we would appreciate any support if you can. Thanks, and enjoy the episode. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 192nd episode of the Pokemon Podcast. My name is SBJ, and with me today, I have the lovely Will.
And since this episode will only be 190 seconds, I have to talk really quick. So I had a really nice weekend, and it's nice to hear from everybody. I hope you have a good week. Bye.
Perfect. Record time. Speaking of record time, we have Travis here.
190 seconds. We only have 190 seconds. Go, 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 go. Right? It's the 192nd episode.
Oh, I get it now.
You're too slow, Travis.
Oh, I get it now. I get it now. I get it now. That's good. That's really good.
That's almost to Wheeler levels, isn't it?
You're hitting wheelie proportions. Do I not get an introduction? We all know what's going on. We've heard this one before.
I think you're really thrown off now, aren't you?
Because I stole the pun. I got the pun this week.
Travis is here.
That's true. When this when we were about to start the Skype call that we're recording for this episode, I made a "my body is ready" joke. At which point, Will decided to point out that's a really, really old meme. So I thought I would just list off some old memes. Remember This Is Sparta? Remember that one?
Yeah.
We got a lot of mileage out of that one. Remember Oh Really? It's quite an old one.
Oh,
Shoop de Whoop? Short-lived, but burned fast and bright. Remember doing it for the lulz?
I don't remember that one.
People were seriously into that one for a while. People would use doing it for the lulz as if it were their own personal philosophy for that was a strange period. Remember YouTube poops? Remember those?
Nope.
No, that I've never heard of.
You gotta go back into the meme history.
Big fan of, and I'm willing for it to come back. The Rafflecopter.
Rafflecopter was great. Oh, remember, this one is just coming back to me. Remember, and this one, you know, I said that Shoop de Whoop was burned fast and bright, but do you remember the world's most photogenic man?
Yep. Do you remember that?
Do all three of us remember this?
I don't know.
He was like running.
Yeah, it was like a marathon, and a photographer just wanted to take a picture of people running and just happened to catch this one dude
I do remember that
the
one.
Most smiley, beautiful pose. And he was like a celebrity for like a week. He was
like after 12 miles too, and he was like still looking good.
Yeah. They invited him on morning shows and stuff. That was a meme dream.
But if you want prehistoric memes, I mean, I can take us all the way back to the 90s where there was that guy in Turkey who like built his own website that was a photo gallery of pictures of himself. And it was like because he wanted to date and he had like really broken English on the site and just these rotating photos of himself shirtless and et cetera. It lost on you guys because you were both like eight.
Around the same time period, do you remember it was like a 13-year-old kid made a website basically for the same purpose, and when you'd go there, just the background would be of like a palm tree scene with like a beach. There'd just be like a small school photo JPEG of him, and then a voice would autoplay and say, "Hello, my future girlfriend. This is what I sound like. If you would like to contact me, please PM me on Yahoo Chat." You remember nice. That one? That was a good one.
What?
That's part of my cough.
Oh, man.
These are some old memes.
Wait. Hold on. How's about...
How long are we going to do this?
In his parents' basement.
Our 190 seconds are up, folks.
And did the Romanian song. What was it? Oh, no. And did the dance. Yes.
Do you remember that? You're really good at that, man.
Do we remember that Eurovision entry that was a meme for a while? Genghis Khan's Moscow. Moscow.
Don't remember that. No.
I think you are so deep in the memes.
Yeah, Travis, you really went down a.
You have ones that we don't like.
A dark rabbit hole.
Casual meme observers do not indulge in.
I mean, I thought this was a Pokememe podcast.
Pokememes. Oh, what Pokememes are out there?
Slowpoke. You got the Slowpoke meme.
Yeah, but no, good. I mean, there's better ones like that than that.
There was, for a while, like, Gumi is a god or whatever was, like, a big deal.
Into the ground. If you could take any Gen 6 Pokemon that got run into the ground instantly, it was Gumi.
No. Diggers Beedo.
I forgot about that.
Round.
Nah, that holds up.
No, it doesn't. Batman is the worst thing ever to come on this planet, and just involving him with Pokemon makes everything bad.
Shofu, I think that was Shofu.
Yeah, it was.
Boy, we burned that in the ground, too.
I think this episode has already become an old meme.
That's good. Before we get into our show for you guys today, I sent out a survey about a week ago, the old Survey Monkey, and I asked a couple questions. I just want to go over a couple of them, just to kind of set expectations, I guess, for not really for you guys, but mostly for Travis and Will and I.
That I'm never going to be on the show again.
This is where we break up with Travis. You keep your podcast app open. You don't want to miss what's next. Podcasters hate him. Travis Wheeler. The first question was, how do you listen to It's Super Effective?
My ears.
70% of you said you use iTunes, which is what I kind of figured. And we have about 20% in the other. The most popular response in other is Podcast Addict, which I believe is a very popular Android app. And some other people said Pocket Cast, which I heard is a great app. I think it's for both iOS and Android. And then there was Overcast and some other stuff. Then we got 6% use SoundCloud directly, and then 3% use Stitcher. Stitcher's way down. I don't know what Stitcher did. Stitcher used to be a very popular app, but they've dropped the ball recently. How long have you listened to It's Super Effective? We have about 12% of our audience listening over 5 years. 13% listening for about 4 years, 34% listening for about 2 to 3 years, 32% just this past year, and 10% are new listeners. So welcome, new listeners.
Welcome.
That's interesting. That's cool to know.
Yeah, it's a real weird statistic, but
yeah.
I mean, we've had it before where we've had like, I feel like, super fans that would email in weekly or tweet at us daily, and then they just disappear.
I miss them.
And then new super fans replace them. So
well, true. But I always want like just more super fans in quantity.
This was my favorite statistic. What is your favorite part of the podcast? I had news, Pokemon of the week, off topic, TCG talk, video game talk, and anime / movie talk. And they were, spoiler, they were randomized for people, so it wasn't looking like I was taking priority over a certain topic.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that that's what a spoiler is. Continue.
The favorite part of the podcast is the off topic by a landslide.
So what you're saying is,
let's get some more memes going.
We need some more memes.
Fire up that great Dan Deacon song meme generator and let's go.
We need to talk about all your base.
This is where we need to
talk about Star Wars, kid.
The Rickroll here.
Travis, do all your base belong to us?
They do. Main screen turn on. Someone set up us the bomb. It's you. How are you, gentlemen?
What's sad is he has this memorized. He's not reading it from anything.
I'm not. It's not the right order. I think it starts with, it's like in 20XX, war had begun or something like that. And then it's, we get signal, main screen, turn on. It's you. How are you, gentlemen? I don't know. I don't know the rest. You're going to have to cut out a lot of this meme, all these meme dreams.
No, we're keeping it all. So my favorite part of the podcast by a landslide was us getting off topic, which is reassuring nonetheless, because I think we like to get off topic, and sometimes Travis is the one who puts his foot down to try to reel it back in.
Or other times I just insist about talking about old memes for 20 minutes.
Yeah, Travis is he's very wishy-washy on this, but... Boy, can I get off topic. Who
if you start
Pokemon?
Talking about Destiny, I'm going to put my foot down immediately.
That's true. I've been playing a lot of Fallout 4, though. Do you approve of that?
Yeah, same.
I have never played any of the Fallout games, despite being a huge Elder Scrolls fan.
You're not missing much. It's literally the same game, except with a gun. Let's see here. Second most popular favorite part was video game talk. And no one's favorite part was the CCG talk, so very sorry.
CCG talk or TCG talk?
TCG, trading card game talk.
I mean, it's hard without the pictures. That's why true. The TCG stuff does so well on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. I agree. That doesn't mean we're going to... None of this means we're making drastic changes to the show. I think we have a very good balance of Pokemon to off-the-topic ratio in the show.
We certainly have this time with 100% off-topic. No.
I think because I am actually literally currently playing Pokemon right now, we're good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I see. Okay. But that's not to say we're not going to like ever talk about the TCG, or we're continuing to cover TCG news because there's only so much news in the week, folks. Interesting here is, are you a Patreon backer? This was just to see Patreon versus non-Patreon, who's actually submitting in the survey. And for me to go more in depth with these statistics, but 40% Patreon backers answered. Obviously, the people who back our Patreon are more of the hardcore fans that they're willing to give us $1 a month. Very hardcore. And then if you do math, 60% were not Patreon backers. And then the personality you would like to see back on the show by a landslide, no one even came close to competing, was Irene. People really want her back. Irene and I have been talking about doing some more like movie things where we watch a movie and then we recap it.
Fun.
Yeah, so that's kind of simple. It'll sound great because we're both in the same room. Once you have like two people in the same room and you Skype somebody in, very hard to control that audio situation. So, and plus, like, if we're talking about Destiny Deoxys and you haven't seen the movie, you might skip the episode, which hopefully you don't, but it might encourage you to watch Destiny Deoxys, then listen to the podcast to get your max enjoyment out of it. So that's something what I'm hoping to do in the future, especially with Thanksgiving coming up. This is the last statistic we'll talk about here, but the one that kind of aggravated me. So SurveyMonkey lets us do 100 responses for free before I have to pay. That's fine. I think 100 is fine just to get a general grasp of the audience. Have you reviewed us in iTunes? 44% said yes. 55% said no. That 55% made up of about 50 people. 50 people have clearly stated that they have not reviewed us in iTunes. What are you folks doing? We're 20 reviews away from being at 500 reviews.
You took the time to take a survey.
Just I even provided an iTunes link in the survey. Come on, throw me a bone here. I give you guys an hour a week of my mediocre monotone.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what services are you providing?
I'm asking for 2 minutes of your time to review us on iTunes. I know iTunes is a dreadful program. Don't get me wrong.
It's awful.
It was way better in 2006, and it only got worse year after year. But
just trudge through the mire of iTunes and make your way to it's super effective.
And we got some, do you have any feedback and suggestions from the show? A lot of people, I'm just reading a couple here. You guys are great. Keep up the episodes. Some said, I've continued to listen to the podcast, even though I no longer have time or the will to play Pokemon. Great job. Somebody said more item of the week. Somebody said bring back team of the week.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any feedback or suggestions for the show? No. That was a very popular response. keep on enjoying doing the show. No, greater on show. Get Togepi Lover on. Somebody said possibly longer episodes, and there was a comment right after, possibly shorter episodes.
I mean, we're making the 192nd episode right now, so I guess we're satisfying one of those two requests.
That's the shortest it can ever be.
Yeah.
Keep doing what you're doing. Love to see. My favorite is when you guys on the show are legitimately excited about a new Pokemon game or when Organs was released. We were very excited for that. Keep having fun with yourselves. Would love to see another Kickstarter, which is a weird but okay comment. I'm down with another kick. I'm down with asking for more money. somebody said Pidgeot. Pidgeot. That's a meme, if anything.
That's quite an old meme. That's before I was even on this show.
Like
that's how old that meme is.
16, maybe?
Oh, I would guess a little earlier. Wasn't that just you and Aaron?
It might have been just Aaron and I, yeah. It's in the title of the episode, if you're looking for that.
I think it is just called
Pidgeot! Yeah, I do think so. Somebody's asking for maybe some tutorials for new players, competitive strategy beyond builds, maybe more breeding. Awesome. Keep up the great.
All right. So here's the MLG strat. You catch a Dunsparce and you get, and I think Dunsparce's only non-hidden ability is Serene Grace, but that might be wrong. But get one with Serene Grace. You teach it Thunder Wave and you teach it Headbutt and you put a Focus Sash on there. It's gonna survive that first hit. You put on that Thunder Wave. Then you actually, no, this doesn't work because you would have to be faster for the Headbutt flinch chance to even matter. So just don't do any of
you would be faster once the Thunder Wave went down. You'd
that's true
be faster.
That's true. Yeah So you just have to, so you put the Thunder Wave and then you Headbutt and you just keep doing that and hope you don't get hit, and then you just win.
And you're screwed as once they switch out.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
unless you predict the switch.
Unless you get the Headbutt flinch chance, or if you no, because then they would be faster than you. You have to have really great MLG instincts to pull it off.
If it's a one-on-one fight, you have a real solid chance.
That's not even true.
Can it learn Confuse Ray? Is that a thing too?
I'm sure it can. Maybe. Oh, you know what it can learn? Yawn.
Oh, there you go.
OP.
Very OP. I believe, though, if it falls
asleep.
Just
gotta survive those two turns.
It would get rid of the Thunder Wave. I come for the banter. I stay for the Pokemon. More pizza talk. In the 4-ish years I've been listening, this is my current cast so far. I feel like most Pokemon/gaming podcasts tend to line between crude and pretentious. Y'all are generally likable and make Pokemon what it always meant to be, fun. Thank you for your hard work. I'm sure that goes into it. I came for the Pokemon. I stayed because of the people.
Oh, well, the secret is I am both crude and pretentious. Horrible, horrible monster.
Somebody said more coverage on the TCG side.
Yes. Okay. So if somebody, I got at Pokemon League yesterday, the promotion card I got for doing all my battles was a Flabébé. And in the background of the Flabébé card, and this is the one that has the attack is Wish, there's an image of something happening in the sky that the Flabébé is reacting to. Can somebody please tell me what that image is?
I thought it was like a legendary Pokemon like Arceus or something.
It looked kind of like Landorus, but then some other feedback I got was that it was Mewtwo battling somebody else in the sky, which is potentially could be because there were a lot of Mewtwos in the latest TCG set.
Huh.
Right? Weren't there like 20 Mewtwos in the latest TCG
yeah,
release?
Yeah, there's way too many Mewtwos. Yeah, I also heard it might have been Mewtwo. Right. I just was watching your conversations on Twitter.
Enough TCG talk. We've filled our quota.
I would whoever wrote this comment, and I can't see because it's anonymous, but somebody says, please have regular hosts with good microphones and pop filters. Higher quality mics would be nice too. SBJ's audio sounds good, but not at anyone else's. I'm curious if that's like the guests that we have on that are not Travis or Will, because Travis has a really good mic.
I think it's just an issue of recording over Skype.
It could be. And I'm thinking of about switching to a different program, but the only problem with ever switching to a different audio program like TeamSpeak or whatever, and I don't plan on switching to TeamSpeak at all. But when you get guests on, like let's say we ever get Marilyn back on or Joe from Serebii, you have to, everyone has Skype.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy to say.
Maybe we just do Skype for ones where we're having a new guest on and we do TeamSpeak or whatever for the regular.
I have something we can try. But Steve, you and I can talk about it. I don't know how it would affect your ability to record.
Yeah, we might be thinking of the same program, but we can talk about that after the show. But what I'm hearing right now through my headphones, because I listen to myself and to you guys talk, you both sound really good right now. And obviously, I wouldn't have started the recording. Before recording, we usually go, all right, Travis, turn up your mic. We'll get closer. Like, we go through that normally. And sometimes, like, they could be referring to the people who were our Kickstarter backers who got on, because that's kind of like a crapshoot of like, all right, like you paid to be on, totally cool. You're supporting the show. We want to give you your reward of you being on, because I know a lot of people who love listening to podcasts. They want to be on the podcast they love to listen to. I'm totally the same way, but we can't like provide that person with a very nice mic.
Yeah. And if people are complaining about me, I'm actually planning on getting a better mic soon. If anybody knows of any Black Friday deals for microphones, send them my way. So
yeah,
take advantage.
Pro tip for anyone getting into podcasting too: the Yeti microphone is very great. It sounds really good. It has multiple audio settings. It's pretty affordable. Usually on Black Friday, it's around $70. It's really, really great price for it. It goes on sale from time to time. I think regularly it's $150, but I'll be watching out for Will and everyone. But the Yeti mic, very fantastic. If you want to go super crazy, the Yeti Pro is also great. It's $250. It has an XLR port on the bottom. I don't know if that matters. It usually doesn't matter for Skype podcasting. And since a podcast is usually like 128K, even if you get like the Yeti Pro, yeah, you're going to sound great. But that compression of just being in podcast form, no one's going to recognize that. Like at a certain point, a higher quality mic is just going to sound as just as good as like a Yeti. Not that the Yeti sounds bad. The Yeti sounds great. But if you're getting into podcasting, the Yeti is great. My only complaint about the Yeti is it's super heavy. It's one of the heaviest mics I've ever used. And that makes it very hard to put it on like a stand if you want to prop it. Most stands can support it, but usually over a couple months, that stand just gets weighted down.
I mean, it's so heavy because of all the kilobits.
That's right. The other problem with the...
All the bytes you're carrying in there.
The other problem with the Yeti Pro is it only has one shock mount for it. And the shock mount itself is $80, which is ridiculously expensive for a shock mount. And it's the only one that fits it. Obviously, a pop filter, it doesn't matter because a pop filter just goes in front. So you can pick any pop filter you want. But those are the two flaws, is it's heavy and the shock mount is very expensive. The problem with putting the Yeti right on the desk and not on an arm is if you're ever setting down like your cup of water or anything, it's possible it can pick that up. Early days when I was in podcasting, I would put it on like a mouse pad, and then I would put like a blanket or like a towel underneath the mouse pad or above the mouse pad, just depending on just a lot of things going on. Just don't drink ever during a podcast, because that's that makes sense.
And you know, actually, for one thing, I don't understand people who like are concerned about the audio quality of the podcasters, as long as you can understand the words. But that's one thing I know people do complain about a lot. And the second thing that people complain about a lot is like the sound of eating and drinking in recorded audio. For some reason, that really sets a lot of people on edge.
Yeah, I would say that bothers me. I would say
I'm going to go have some Doritos right now. Hold on.
you're gonna switch to your onboard laptop microphone and start eating some Doritos.
Nice.
No, I understand people's desire for high audio quality in shows, because it can be very grating on the ears to hear the things that, like, for example, sometimes Skype will do, where on S sounds, it'll sort of make this almost buzzing sound every time someone does it. And it's made me hyper aware of all of the S sounds that I'm saying in these sentences, which is a lot.
Yeah, at one point, yeah. I had a microphone, because I was trying new mics, and I bought a microphone, and you guys told me that you could hear me like swallow. And I got like, and the audio recording didn't pick it up because I have it set at a certain decibel level to record so we don't spike out anything. But I had to return that mic because I was so self-conscious about like you guys being able to hear like me swallow, even though it wasn't getting picked up on the recording. I'm very happy with the mic I use now. I use an AT2020+. But I might be switching that anyways too, to a different setup, but that's here nor there. I mean, like, at a certain point in the day, we try to provide as best as quality as possible. The hard part is the podcast that you're listening to, I'll use Giant Bomb, for example. Like, their podcast is 3 hours long every week. It sounds fantastic. The difference is they're literally sitting in a studio looking at each other.
Yeah.
And they have professional audio people there, and like, I do all the audio editing. I try to make sure everyone sounds good, but we're doing it over Skype. So at a certain point, like, if we're 30 minutes in and Travis's mic all of a sudden goes staticky, like, we can re-record it, or we can go with it, or like, we don't know if it's going to come back or go away, or we don't know what caused it. But I think from episode one to now, there's a drastic change in audio quality, and I think it's for the better. And I would argue with anyone to say, find a better Pokemon podcast that sounds as good or better than ours. I don't think you're going to find it because of our voices.
There are a lot of shows. There are a lot of Pokemon shows that have like, you know, have like six people on each episode. They'll all be using like headset microphones and talking over each other.
I like to keep it at three. Four is good too, but.
Mm-hmm. Remember that episode? It was it?
I think you're thinking of a Midwest Gaming Classic episode.
That one is rough too. But there was episode 69, which is a lot of people's favorite, and it is a great episode. Weren't there like 15 people on that show or something?
I think there was 50. There might have been like eight.
Because like, I think both Wills were on it.
Nope, I had nothing to do with that.
No, Will didn't come in until after 100.
No, 82.
82.
That was at the point where I was still in college, and the point in college when I was living in the dorms and I couldn't record in my own dorm room because my roommates were loud. So I would go to a classroom on campus that would just be empty because it was at night when we would record. And so I remember people would walk by as I would just be laughing my butt off at the nonsense that we were saying. And if you look in, I'm just sitting there with headphones, a computer, and there's no one around me. And I'm laughing like someone just said the funniest thing, but there is no one around.
That's amazing. Oh, man. The good old days. I kind of want to go back and listen. It's hard for me to listen to the earlier episodes. But if you guys can do it, you know, props to you. Couple more responses here, then we'll take a break, and then we'll actually talk about Pokemon. I mean, we're talking directly about the podcast. You can't fault us for that. Maybe you can.
If you put a disclaimer at the beginning, you're like, for the first hour and a half. We just talk about old memes and this podcast. Not into that. Skip to
deal with it. No feedback. Just thanks a ton. Look forward to the podcast every week. Keep doing what you're doing. Somebody else literally said right after, keep doing what you're doing, except it's with question marks. I'm not sure if they were working together. More Togepi lover. Destiny plus cheesecake is the best. It's great. Loved SBJ's adventure in the X and Y series. I would love to hear SBJ, Will, or Travis document their journey through another older Pokemon game in a similar way. Hope this returns for Pokemon Z 2.
Pokemon Z 2. We haven't had Pokemon Z 1.
Nice catch.
Would love to hear more theme show like Pokemon Urban Legends or Misconceptions. Great as is. Not really. Just keep covering all aspects of the Pokemon franchise. More interviews would be awesome. A little more positivity on Pokemon in general, please.
That's fair. I think it's fair to say that most of us were disappointed by Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, which, like, we don't have a lot of control over. I mean, I could pretend that I love those games.
I think we were all probably the most positive the show was when X and Y came out, and
those games are great.
They're fantastic, and Pokemon Origins shortly followed. Those four episodes were fantastic. Yeah, so I mean, you're gonna go up and down, and especially since we've been doing this for 5 years, you're gonna have low points and you're gonna have high points. It's like a relationship.
You know? And I understand the criticism of, you know, why am I listening to a Pokemon podcast when they don't even like the newest one? And I mean, I like Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, but in terms of a Pokemon game, it was disappointing for me. But I, at least personally, I wouldn't feel very good being sort of manufacturing a dishonest enthusiasm about a remake, a subpar remake of a game I already considered one of my least favorite in the franchise.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we had a lot of positivity around Pokemon Shuffle.
Yeah,
I've never played it.
I would also say, right, I still go to Pokemon League regularly. I'm actually playing Pokemon right now, so it's not like I hate Pokemon.
Oh, I do. Nah, it's fine. I get real excited when plushes come out. It's just because there's not a game we're not excited about doesn't mean we're... I mean, if you want me to rave about the new Vulpix plush that they added to the PokemonCenter.com, like, I can. I don't know how much there is to say about it besides it looks awesome. Vulpix, pretty cool Pokemon, I think. Couple more here.
Alone on that. Vulpix is boring.
Ah, dude, it has tails.
It's cute. It's cute, and you brush it, and it makes
it's
it
a
happy.
Fox. How can you not like foxes?
Oh, don't remind me of Halloween.
Will should be on every episode. Get that Australian guy on the show again. Keep doing what you're doing. More
Who's
longer
that
episodes.
Australian guy.
That might have been Sean. Yeah.
Okay.
Love this show. I'll review you soon in iTunes. I'm holding you to that, Anonymous. I think the show is great. I know it's hard to keep topic during downtimes between games, but I love to hear more about your gameplay. Really enjoy SBJ, Travis, and Will. I kind of remember Kenny, but I don't remember the rest of the older hosts. Really enjoy the video game talking news. Can't afford the Patreon, but I did back you on Kickstarter. Whoever you are, Anonymous, more than enough. Appreciate that you're just listening to the show. Yeah, who are... we've had Saul on pretty recently.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Aaron's made an appearance since episode 100. I did actually talk to Justin a couple weeks ago and asked if he was willing to come back, and he said yes. And I think the main reason David hasn't been on is because he was kind of in a situation where Travis was, where he wasn't in a good recording space at some time. I mean, Travis had the option of finding an empty classroom, but I don't think David does.
Yeah, David's still in school.
Yeah.
And that's the same with Justin, right? Justin's in college and halfway around the world. So all the scheduling constraints that come with college and the fact that he's about like 11 hours or 12 hours ahead of us makes
and
everything.
I'm not going to wake up to record a podcast.
Let's see. Bring Pokemon item of the week back. More yokai watch.
Nope. Nope. You'll get watch ban.
Out of your control, but some one-off guests have bad audio. I think we just talked about that. Mm-hmm. Less Destiny talk, more Destiny's Child.
I like this person.
Destiny's Child is awful.
But it's a good goof. I don't like Destiny's Child either.
They have one good song. They have Survivor.
That's not even a good song.
Oh, it's so good.
It is not. Ew.
More Togepi lover reviews. Greater focus on Pokemon mechanics. I don't mind when there isn't news because there is always something you'll find to talk about. I think perhaps spending a few minutes a week or a period explaining things like IVs, EVs, Blissey bases, Horde training, stuff like that.
Well, that's funny because I was just doing Horde training and Blissey bases while we've been conversing. So there you go. You got your content for the week.
Yeah. Would enjoy more movie commentary episodes. The Deoxys one was really fun. I think I did that one with Vinny. That might have been the only time Vinny was on. That was good. We did that live through Blog Talk Radio. That was really cool. Where you guys were supposed to watch the movie with us. Sometimes find a way to be less monotone. Just kidding. I don't really know what to write here.
Welcome to the Pokemon Podcast. My name is SVJ and Evan.
Well, I mean, I don't think that Travis and I are the monotone ones. Our voices are quite melodic.
That's true. That's
I believe true. It's Steven who has the problem.
Unfortunately, that seems to be the case.
So, Steve, why don't you sing us some Destiny's Child?
I'm a survivor. I'm not going to give up.
Wow. That is so bad.
Is that how it goes?
That song worse. I don't know. I don't listen to that garbage. I listen to all the hipster bands, man.
I think the person who just said that
they like us because we're not pretentious has just turned it off at the point where Will said, I don't listen to Destiny's Child. I don't listen to hipster music.
I don't listen to Beyonce Knowles. I listen to Solange Knowles. Okay.
I don't know who that is.
It's her sister who sings all the hipster songs.
Oh my gosh. Our listeners are probably so angry that we haven't talked about the Pokemon Red and Blue coming to the eShop.
What?
Like Pokemon you said, you have to put a disclaimer at the beginning of the show that just says that, or just make this segment last.
Nah, I'm not gonna do it.
All right, well,
I'm not gonna do it just because I want to see what the listening count is prior and if people make it through. But if you have made it this far, we're gonna talk about some Pokemon news regarding the Nintendo Direct. But before we do that, we're gonna take a quick break so we don't lose this audio file. And we'll be back and it'll be all Pokemon all the time. Keep on listening. And we are back from our break, finally, to talk about some Pokemon news. First bit of news here, Zoroark is available in American Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire through the Nintendo Network. We talked about this, I believe, a little bit last week, but just a reminder that Zoroark is available only for Auras. Using the Nintendo Network, you want to go to the Mystery Gift option. Zoroark is level 50 in an Ultra Ball. No held item, has a classic ribbon. What's that for, Will? For the?
It's just a ribbon.
Nothing. Yeah, I think it
doesn't do anything.
Oh.
Okay. I think most of the event Pokemon come with an event-only ribbon to say, hey, you got this from the event.
Okay, so it's not like ribbon.
Here's what it's for. It's so that when somebody brings a hacked Pokemon, they can say, does it have the ribbon? Oh, it doesn't have the ribbon. Obviously, it's a hack.
Oh, because I see. They can't hack the ribbon?
They can, but who's going to pay attention to that?
Okay, it's like something they miss.
Yeah.
Right. And there are ribbons that that you can get in game, and then there are other ones like that are event only.
that you can assign to Pokemon, and they have their you would think it has something to do with like contests and stuff, but it's just sort of like a cosmetic thing. You can say like, oh, my Torterra has 7 different ribbons or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This Zoroark knows Sludge Bomb, Dark Pulse, Sucker Punch, and Flamethrower. Sludge Bomb is a move that Zoroark cannot normally learn. Its original trainer is Sly, and its trainer ID, if you care, is 11045. It, gender and nature are random, so you can get a girl or a guy. Zoroark.
So my recommendation, if you're soft resetting for this one, is to... I was going to say Timid. Do you think Timid... What do you think?
I've played this game for so long, and I've never been able to memorize the what the nature mean. Is that what is that? Is that positive special attack, or no, positive speed, negative attack?
Yeah, I think that's what that is. Because, and I would also swap out the Sucker Punch for a Nasty Plot, because for me, not for real competitive VGC play, but just for friendly battles, I love a Nasty Plot Zoroark. And then what makes this one special is the fact that he knows Sludge Bomb, which is a move that Zoroark will not learn in any game. Right. And your usual Zoroark strategy is to have a poison type in the back of your party so that Zoroark comes out looking like a poison type. And then people will try a psychic type move against it, which should be super effective, but has zero effect on dark types. And then if you actually can use a poison type move, it helps people to think even more that it's a poison type.
Yeah, I like the way you're thinking.
Dealy. A held item, you should use a focus sash.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Because you get one nasty plot, it'll get hit. If it's going to get hit something deadly, at least it'll survive. And that nasty plot will give it enough special attack power to like revenge kill something.
And with the timid nature, you'll probably be fast enough to outspeed on the second turn.
Yeah, Zoroark is typically a fast Pokemon, so you want to get that special attack up too, and you'd be doing real good
Zoroark. Zoroark will be available until November 20th, so as of this recording, you probably have 3 or 4 days left if you're listening to this on Monday, which should be on time this week.
Wait, Monday's like November 13th, so you have like 7 days.
No, tomorrow's the 16th.
What?
It is November 15th today.
Yeah.
What? I thought today was November 11th. Where am I? What time is this?
The only reason I know what day it is because in 5 days I'm going to go see Between the Buried and Me in Detroit. Anybody else any listeners going to see Between the Buried and Me in Detroit on November 20th? Hit me up.
Is that a meme?
No, Between the Buried and Me isn't a meme. They're just a really good like progressive death metal band.
Where are they playing?
Oh, I don't remember the venue. It's not even... It's like basically a gymnasium from what I remember.
There's a venue in Detroit that I really love, the Magic Stick. It's like a pool hall, but they have a stage in the pool hall.
Oh,
and it's above like a bowling alley, which is... I think it's called Lucky Strike or something. But I would definitely recommend if you can go to the Magic Stick, go.
Cool.
Magic Stick.
Yep.
What else is in 5 days is Pokemon Super Mystery Dungeon is almost here.
I'm pumped about that too. I'm on the night after seeing BT Bam, I'm going to pick up some Pokemon Super Mystery Dungeon and enjoy the heck out of it because I love Mystery Dungeon and I'm just going to pretend that Gates to Infinity doesn't exist and just love Super Mystery Dungeon.
So, you probably won't have, I don't know if Will's picking it up. I don't plan on picking it up.
No, I got too many other games to play right now. I play a game that I'm not that into.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm working through some stuff. So hopefully Travis will have a good playthrough and we can get impressions on that. Not sure if there's much to say. They haven't really been talking about it.
We know. I mean, it's funny because the game is, if I'm correct, is already out in Japan.
Yes.
Correct. Yep.
And yet I have not heard a lot. Which is weird. I mean, maybe it's not weird, but it seems weird.
Yeah.
Like Famitsu reviewed it or whatever, and they gave it straight 9s, I think.
No, that
doesn't really mean much, but...
Right, yeah. The Pokemon Mystery Dungeon was one of the 3 Pokemon-related topics in the Nintendo Direct. I asked... A lot of surveys went out. I asked if you guys thought that Pokemon Z would be announced. I think over 60% said no. Of course, that did not happen. And I think I then asked if you guys enjoyed the Nintendo Direct, and it was about 60% said you guys did enjoy the Nintendo Direct. So some expectations were set or not set there. But besides Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, there was two other Pokemon-related announcements, which was more than I expected. I didn't think they'd go too deep into Pokemon, but they seem to be setting Pokemon up for another big year, in my opinion. Actually, there was four Pokemon announcements. There was the... I didn't even include this in my news. I just thought of it now. There was the... what is it called? Dark Mewtwo? Evil Mewtwo?
It was like Shadow Mewtwo.
Shadow Mewtwo. They showed a little bit of...
Pokken Tournament.
Pokken Tournament with Shadow Mewtwo. They showed that the only way to get Shadow Mewtwo is either to play the game to unlock him or to scan in an amiibo card with Shadow Mewtwo on it, and what will unlock him in the game. This goes with my theory that every Pokemon is going to have a amiibo card. Because this will be the first one, and I'm not sure why.
Every Pokemon, 720 of them.
Yeah, that's how they get the trading.
Oh my.
They already started with Animal Crossing. And by the way, I bought a pack of the Animal Crossing amiibo cards. You only get six cards, and it's $6.
$1 per card.
That is ridiculous. Yeah.
But think of all of the fun you can get out of just one amiibo card.
Nice.
And that's priceless.
Actually, thinking about it, with most like Pokemon TCG packs, you pay $4.50 for a pack, and there's only at most two usable cards in there. So those are like $2 per card.
That's very true. Yeah, so my assumption is we're going to see Pokemon amiibo cards next year. So this Nintendo Direct, in my view, is going to set Pokemon up for a very strong quarter one of 2016. And we're getting Mystery Dungeon in 5 days. For them to announce Pokemon Z would kind of be killing off the lackluster hype they've been building for Super Mystery Dungeon. They showed some Pokken Tournament. They did announce Spring for Wii U. So very good that a Pokemon game is coming out on Wii U. They're doing the first amiibo card, which is Shadow Mewtwo. And then the other two things they announced, we'll start with Pokemon Picross first. That was the expected new free-to-play game that we got. If you don't know what Picross is, you can turn puzzles into portraits. I can read a little bit about here. To solve a puzzle, look at the hints of the numbers above each column and next to each row. These will help you identify the numbers of squares that will be filled in, deduce where the squares are, and fill them in to reveal a Pokemon portrait. There are over 300 puzzles for you to clear, plus in advance mode, daily training will also help players improve their skills thanks to the large number of puzzles. Many Pokemon appear in this game. In addition, many Pokemon, I would assume there are 300 Pokemon that appear, since there are 300 puzzles. In addition to the familiar Pokemon and all new Mega Evolved Pokemon that have appeared throughout Ruby, Alpha, and Sapphire, they show up to help challenge you in the game. Be sure to keep an eye out for Legendary and Mythical Pokemon. Interesting that they separated the two of those, but fair enough. Try to solve as many puzzles and collect many Pokemon. Pictrites are rare stones with magical powers. You can obtain them in various ways during your gameplay, such as clearing a puzzle. With a Pictrite, you can access more and more areas. You will also help the Pokemon recover their skills by using Pictrites. Pictrites may also be purchased with real money in the Nintendo eShop. Look forward to Pokemon Picross arriving in Nintendo eShop's early December 2015.
Picross is fun, so Pokemon 1 should be cool. It's if you're into puzzle games, I like Picross.
If you're into logic puzzles, definitely.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
The only thing that could have been better is a Pokemon Sudoku.
That's basically
It's pretty close.
Is it? I've never played Picross. I mean, I was excited because I do like logic puzzles, but I'm a big Sudoku fan.
Are you really?
Yeah, dude. Brain Age with Sudoku? Oh, I loved it.
Wow.
Did you have Big Brain Academy too?
Yeah.
I like Big Brain Academy.
Yeah. Sudoku, though. I don't know. There's something about Sudoku I really, really like. Maybe because it makes you feel good when you solve it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I can never solve them.
If I remember right, and I probably do not, the way Picross works is that, like, on a row, and the columns as well, but on a given row or column, there will be a group of numbers on the side of it. So it'll say, like, 1, 2, 2 or something. And if I remember right, that would mean that in that row, there's, so for the 1, 2, 2, there's one square that's on its own for the 1, and then there's two groups of 2 for the 2, 2. And yes. Then you deduce from the other rows and columns where those groups have to be given the information you have. So it's a similar, it's not, it's like Sudoku in that it's a grid-based puzzle wherein you glean information from the other clues available to you. And through the, like, process of elimination, you figure out where things have to be.
I'm down for this. This sounds good.
And then when you're done, you make a little Pokemon face.
I wonder if there's going to be, like, not like an easiness where, like, it's like, oh, I know this is a Snorlax, so.
Oh.
Or if they're so pixelated that it's kind of hard until...
That's generally it with Picross, in that like, until you're close to the end, you can't tell if you're, like, drawing the foot or the, you know, to continue the Pokemon analogy. You can't, like, tell which part of the face is which, but... And even in the other ones where it's just a picture, it's not always clear till near the end where what the edges you're drawing are.
Okay. So yeah, I don't think anyone was down on Pokemon Picross being announced. It is interesting that this is that Pokemon is the, like, free to play powerhouse that kind of shows up in the Nintendo Directs.
Well, I noticed that they've changed the way that they call it. They now call it free to start.
Free to start,
not free to play.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
free to start.
I'm assuming that Pokemon will continue being the free to play engine. Because I'm sure they had amazing success with Shuffle.
Yeah.
And I don't know how well Rumble did, but I mean, I don't know if anyone had high expectations of Rumble. I mean, it is what it is. You just go through and press A as fast as you can.
Because there's some B moves as well.
my mistake.
It's actually, for me, it's harder than I was expecting. It's getting really hard for me to catch new Pokemon in Rumble. So, but I still play it every day.
Awesome.
Tried to get a Kangaskhan this morning.
Failed. Man, if there was like fast switching in 3DS where I could switch between like Pokemon Shuffle and something else, that'd be real sweet. Mm-hmm. All right, the big announcement here. It's what you guys suffered 55 minutes till here. Is Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow are coming to the Nintendo 3DS Virtual Console. They will be released on the original date that Red and Blue debuted. I'm not sure if that's the Japan debut date or the American debut date, but February 27th of 2016. So we're getting Mystery Dungeon this month. We're getting Pokemon Picross next month. We're getting Pokken Tournament sometime in the first 3 months of 2016. I'm assuming March. We're getting Red, Blue, and Yellow Virtual Console February 27th here. What'd you guys think of this announcement?
I'm very happy with it. And I've been playing Pokemon Yellow on my Game Boy Color to get a good team together so I can just trade right at the beginning of playing like Pokemon Red on my 3DS and have a really good team to start with. You're supposed to say that's not how it works, Will.
Travis, what were you going to say?
I think it's a good move in the sense that, maybe I'm getting maybe I'm having a poor, I'm not very diverse group of people given that I still work at a university and I've been going to college for the last, for the 4 years before that. And so everyone I talk to is a nostalgic college student, who's constantly playing Pokemon Red on their iPhone on some like cracked app or whatever.
It seems like there's a clear demand for it.
That is one of the critiques that I heard that made me so angry. Somebody was like, well, why are they just releasing Red and Blue? I can always just play that on my iPhone. Well, you know what? Will Anderson does not steal other people's intellectual property. So I don't play Red and Blue illegally on my iPhone. And you know what? Actually, the whole process of installing one of those ROM players and then downloading ROMs and that is so complicated. That's too much work. I want something I can just put on my 3DS, which is the game system I have with me just as much as my phone, and I'm going to play it. Critique number one from Will Anderson of your poor, poor arguments.
Let me be the negative person here.
And I'm going to disagree with everything you have to say, so go for it.
So I'm not sure who this market applies to. Like, I get that Pokemon Red, Blue, Yellow, they're games that should be in the archive of Virtual Console. I understand that. Just like Super Mario Land. But as somebody who loves Pokemon, like, I've bought a 3DS. I've bought the new Pokemon games. I've played the new Pokemon games. Debatable for Auras, but I've played it. The people who, like, they've only played Red and Blue, they love Red and Blue, they're not going to go out and get a 3DS to play Red and Blue. They're going to go into their parents' basement. They're going to find their Game Boy. They're going to put four AAA, AA batteries in it. And they're going to play it for 4 or 5 hours. And they're going to be satisfied. And they're not going to think about Pokemon for another 2 years.
No. Because there's no way that they think that this is a system seller. I don't think that's part of it at all. I think it's, I already have a 3DS because I really love Super Smash Bros. And I love Animal Crossing. It's probably marketed to people who, people like us are very likely to get it. I probably won't because I still have a copy of, Red and a working original brick Game Boy, and I don't mind. And I don't even play portable games on the go that often. Usually when I'm playing a portable game, I'm just sitting in my apartment anyway. So I'm sort of an odd case. But I think for a lot of people, like you said, of going in their parents' basement, plugging in the batteries and turning it on, I think a lot of people would like not having to do that and having it on the system that they're carrying around with them all the time, like Will just said that he does. So being able to have it in the eShop means you can be playing Pokemon Blue on the same system that you're playing, I don't know, what are the kids like these days on the 3DS?
Yo-Kai Watch.
Playing Yo-Kai Watch and Pokemon Red on the same system. And so for those of us who are really into Pokemon, it makes these games that we have a strong connection to more accessible.
My follow-up question.
Yeah.
Is why do you want to play Red and Blue?
Oh, I don't. I'm not going to get these.
I guess that's positioned towards our audience.
Look at every other game that's on the Virtual Console, and why do people want to play those? I mean, I literally loaned one of my extra 3DSs, and I know that sounds really. What was our criticism?
Pretentious and crude.
Pretentious that I have multiple.
It's not actually a criticism because they said that we were
out my
not
house.
Yeah. I have two 3DSs. It's not weird.
I loaned one to one of my coworkers because he wanted to play 3D Ocarina of Time, which that's now a 5-6-year-old game, and he was just like so hyped to play, because I also had all the old Zelda games on it that I've downloaded for Virtual Console. And he's like, oh, I want to play these old Zelda games I haven't played in a long time. You know, people like us who play video games all the time, we're like, ugh, why would you play Zelda 2, the side-scroller version? But people who don't play video games all the time, they're like, yeah, I remember playing that 15, 20 years ago, and I'm really hyped to go in and just play it again.
Yeah, so and I get that. But,
that kind of people.
But that situation, again, like, you lent your friend a 3DS. He played the classic games, but like that, at the end of the day, it doesn't sell any copies of the games. It doesn't sell a system.
No,
I don't think they need to sell the system to make a very good profit off of this. They've already sold a lot of 3DSs, and the fact that the game's going to be cheap and readily available.
Like, I also think there's a lot of people out there that have 3DSs that just don't use them because there's a lot of spoiled kids in this country.
Yeah.
Oh, and 2DSs.
as like a as a hardcore Pokemon fan, and maybe our listeners can relate to this, a lot of them who do competitive battling don't even use Pokemon as a platform to do that. They use Pokemon Showdown or whatever, yeah, because they realize the time sink in an actual Pokemon game. So for them, why would they go back to a generation that is so broken?
Well, there's I don't think that competitive Pokemon players is the specific target audience of right. this. I think they just recognize that they're likely to get active Pokemon fans just by nature of we're releasing a Pokemon game, and people who are more casually into it who are not going to drop the full real retail price of whatever new Pokemon game they're going to get. And maybe they get into it enough that then they say, maybe I'll pick up Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire because I got this Pokemon Blue game that I had when I was a kid.
But that's what I'm trying to break down here, is we're eliminating so many parts of the audience. We're getting rid of competitive people. We're getting
which is
rid-
tiny in the scope of the people who play Pokemon. The competitive scene is minuscule.
We're getting rid of the people who are literally Gen 1ers that won't actually buy a 3DS to play it because they have a Game Boy sitting around.
I was going to say, maybe there's a huge number of people out there that we don't know, because we actually know good people who have been saying,
well, I'm not going to play any Pokemon game other, you know, I'll buy a 3DS when they get Red and Blue on the 3DS. And now it's like, now those people are going to do it because they've been saying that for 10 years.
Maybe.
And it's very likely that a lot of those people have 3DSs for other purposes. Do you know how many people play Smash Bros. That are also Gen 1ers? Right? like people who are going to, who have a 3DS for other games, who are not so into Pokemon that they're going to get every new release, but have a strong connection to Gen 1.
I think
that's enough people to make a decent profit on this. And I mean, it's such a low investment on their part to do this, right? Like, they just need to add the functionality to trade wirelessly, and then,
which I think is a bigger deal than people
for sure be a hit.
I think that's a huge coding undertaking that people are overlooking, but I'll get to that in a second.
Maybe.
You're not going to get people who are like hardcore complete my Pokedex because there's no trading up into games.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. There's no Pokemon.
No, I am perfectly fine with that.
No, see, I'm not. And we can talk about this now, is the complication that it is to force a trade between two 3DSs on a virtual console game is not like this was the easy thing that we did. Otherwise, the entire game remains untouched. Which means the missing no glitch is there, which is fine. I think it should be there. But, like, why would you not add Pokemon Bank? Like, these games are, like, the most frustrating thing about this to me is Masuda went on record multiple times saying how disappointed he was that Gen 1 and Gen 2 could not trade upwards.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally figured out a system. They wanted Pokemon Bank years ago. They finally figured out Pokemon Bank. And then they're going to go two steps back and release an old game.
And not
untouched.
Have functionality for it. Yeah.
But they're going to touch this part of the game, which is probably irrelevant. Like, okay, I'll download Red because I want to play like 2 minutes of it. I want to give Nintendo $10. Who am I trading with?
Me?
What am I trading for? Like, if
Pokemon
you
can't get in the game?
Yeah,
isn't
but like
point?
you gotta get Magmar.
I want to like complete my Pokedex. Like, they didn't say anything about battling. I doubt battling is there. So now I cannot battle.
Oh, you don't think so?
I don't think so.
Oh,
they
I'm sure it's there.
No,
I'm
they
sure
specifically
it's there.
Said trading, and that is it. Like, look at all the press releases. Not rewatch it. They did not say battling. They only said trading. So they went and added one specific feature. If they were to add any specific feature, it would add Pokemon Bank. And everyone's like, well, no, that's too complicated because there was only attack. There wasn't physical attack. There wasn't special attack. There wasn't, like, natures at that end. That doesn't matter. Like, they have...
It does matter.
It doesn't. Like, just
and
randomly
no,
assign
that,
when you move up.
No, no. Besides that, not only was the whole structure of speed, attack, defense, HP different in Generation 1. There were no abilities, right?
Doesn't matter.
Were
just
there even,
just randomly assign them.
You, No, once you do that,
and then you had stat
XP.
It's a
Frankamon.
Right.
Like
once you do that, it doesn't matter. But you're playing a game that doesn't matter anyways. You're only playing it for nostalgic value. If I'm going to put
You don't go and look at the Mona Lisa and walk up and say, "Well, geez, if they could just use Photoshop, they sure as hell could get higher resolution on this painting." No, you look at it preserved for what it was. It's a gallery piece where you enjoy it because of the time that it came out, and
so
you understand what.
I don't necessarily. You're
going to disagree with me.
Necessarily agree with what I'm going to say, but just to see what your answer is, if that's the reason for it to have it as sort of be this like crystallized moment in time, why are you getting it on a 3DS?
And why are you adding trading to it?
Because that's the system that I have that I can play with, and because trading is essential to the Pokemon games.
So is battling.
No. If you want to play, you know, these games with all like a nature's abilities and the whole different structure for all of the stats and everything, get yourself a copy of Fire Red or Leaf Green and play that.
Right. Which they could have ported those over instead.
But these are the classic originals. It's the 20th anniversary. You take out this old thing and you say, well, look, you know, this is what you had fun with, untouched. This is a cherry 1954 Dodge Dart, right? It doesn't have an onboard computer doing, you know, no, you are going to get 3 miles to the gallon off this thing. But look at what a beautiful car it is. And enjoy it for what it is.
I mean,
don't
your point.
Try to make it something other than what it is.
Your point is valid.
But I know it is. I made it. My name is William R. Anderson.
But
and
to
the
say
R
that
stands for reason.
To say that, like, oh, they added trading because trading was so important to the game. I do not think that holds more merit than battling with your friends is more important. Like, they both to me are equally important. And they clearly picked one over the other.
The whole core of the game was that the red version had a certain number of Pokemon and it was missing some of the Pokemon. The blue version had a certain number and was missing some of the Pokemon because you had to trade between red and blue to get a complete Pokedex. And the game is – the slogan is you got to catch them all. It's not you got to beat them all up. So
I would be surprised.
Friendship.
Even though they're saying just trading in the press releases, I would still be surprised if they don't include battling, because there's no way that it's that exchanging the information of one Pokemon from one game to the other is a very different transaction than exchanging the information of one turn's input in a battle. I would be surprised if that capability weren't there too. And it is disappointing that Pokemon Bank probably will not have functionality, but as Will mentioned, not only were stats added in the form of special attack and so many things changed in the form of abilities, but if the point of Pokemon Bank is to have the same Pokemon from all these generations so that, you know, you can pass on your same red Gyarados to your grandkid or whatever is the grand vision of Pokemon Bank, then you're not going to get that if you included Pokemon Bank here, because not only were abilities not a thing and special attack not a thing, but a special attack and special defense rather, but at the point of Gen 1, you didn't even have the same system for generating stats as you do now. So instead of IVs and EVs, you had something called Stat EXP, which is basically what EVs are now. But with a totally different way to calculate that. So I'm guessing there wouldn't be an easy one-to-one translation between the IV-EV system we have now and the Stat XP system we had then. So you're not really even trading up the same Pokemon. So it doesn't have that the purpose of Pokemon Bank of keeping this same Pokemon and passing that one on to the new generations. Like Will said, it's like a Franken Pokemon, and at that point it kind of ruins the point of Pokemon Bank, although it is still disappointing to me that they don't include it, but I can see why it's not as terrible as if they, you know, released a new game and Pokemon Bank were included, because at least the new game is consistent with the old things.
Yeah. And Like, I can see why they didn't include it, but don't give me the argument of, oh, it's really complicated and they probably wouldn't be able to do it. Like, no, if they took the time to add trading wirelessly.
Yeah, like, I mean, they totally could do it. I'm not saying that they are incapable of doing it. I'm just saying that the way that they would, the compromise that they would come to would ruin the point of Pokemon Bank, right? Because if Pokemon Bank's purpose is to have the same Pokemon available across generations, then that's not what you're doing here, because you're sort of making a new Pokemon from scratch, just from, not from scratch, but from the template of a Gen 1 Pokemon, and sort of inserting randomness and making a Gen 3 and onward. Yeah. Gen 3 and onward Pokemon, which is not going to be the same thing.
Well, and even if you could upload them to Pokemon Bank unchanged, you could then never download them into anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because they're just completely different creatures than what we work with now.
The past is a foreign country, Steve.
My assumption is that the missing no thing would actually add a lot of complication to Pokemon Bank as well.
There's a lot of oddities in Gen 1 that come from
that game being poorly built.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, the best they could with what the tools that they had at the time.
I think it's beautifully poorly built, in the same way that, like, well, you used that car analogy before, in the same way that, like, a car with, like, duct tape on its engine is beautiful, right? Like, Gen 1 is built on Band-Aids and bodges to use. I think that's, like, an English slang meaning, sort of like a makeshift fix. You know, all of these little fixes that Gen 1 has that create these sort of oddities like Missing No is sort of beautiful in its own way. Even though it still is poorly built, it's poorly built in a admirably utilitarian way.
So, Will, you sound like you're going to get these?
Oh, absolutely.
And play them.
Absolutely. Yeah. I only played Pokemon Yellow, which is already a perversion of the original Pure Gold. I want that one experience that everybody else had of Red and Blue.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't be happy with these because I don't want to sink time into any Pokemon game and not have my Pokemon carry over. And that's,
which is something that only became available in what, 2013?
Yep.
Well, so it's been available for a year and a half, and it's now you can't live without it.
That's not necessarily true. Ever since Fire Red and Leaf Green, I can carry over my Pokemon in any generation. I just go from game to game.
Do you really do that?
Yeah. Now there's just an
Steven.
Easy...
Steven.
I literally did that. I have like five Pokemon from Fire Red and Leaf Green that I don't use. They just sit in my box, and I like that they're there.
Oh, but not all of the Pokemon that you
bought. No, not all of them.
I mean, I can attest that my Soul Silver, which is a game I, other than X and Y, spent the most time on. I guess I spent a lot of time on Soul Silver. That thing is bone dry at this point with how many transfers I did up to Black and White. And then, I mean, I think White still has a lot of Pokemon on it, but even that, most of them have been transferred into Gen 6, so...
I lost my train of thought. The other reason I'm not happy or satisfied with this news is I'd rather just see another remake of these games.
Oh, no thanks. We've 3DS. Remade that enough times. Once is what two making Red and Blue two times is enough for me.
I mean, I think it's a crutch that they're always going to lean on and always plan to lean on, is the revisiting of these old regions with the recycling of these 700 and some Pokemon.
Right, but I would rather... I think this is a healthier way for Nintendo to make money on the nostalgia of its fan base than is something else from the Nintendo Direct, which was this, and maybe this is just a hate Legend of Zelda, but the HD remake of Twilight Princess, which is a game I couldn't stand, but the fact that eight quote unquote HD remake still looks like an N64 game, and
it was a Wii
Twilight
game
Princess
or a Wii
came
game,
out on
sorry.
The Wii. Like, that footage looks awful. There's that shot where like a sword is falling out of someone's hand. That looks like out of Alone in the Dark.
This is a bit off topic, but I don't understand why that game got so much hype and popularity around it, because I remember when that game came out, I bought it on day one. I beat it in like 2 weeks. There's nothing memorable about that game.
Yeah,
well, the reason is because they found a way to tie it into having you buy another amiibo.
Oh yeah,
because whatever the Zelda Wii U that's coming out is going to be some sort of sequel to Twilight Princess.
And thanks,
that's all it is.
Because you just saved what was just going to turn into my tirade against Legend of Zelda to be what I was trying to say in the first place, which is that's like the most gross cash cow thing in that Nintendo Direct, right? Like, remake a game, not even making new textures for, or maybe they did make
remaking
new textures.
A game that's not even that old,
right? And so, like, Nintendo fans, and I mean, I count too, I guess, but like, we are all gluttons for nostalgia, and we will buy these remakes. And I think it's a lot more humane to take advantage of us in the form of small $10 eShop games than it is by goading us to buy the same game we bought before for $60, right?
Yeah, like, but also outside of the three of us, there are dudes and ladies out there with Triforce tattoos.
Yeah,
so
I'm not, I
they
mean,
will buy anything Zelda, just like there's people who will buy anything Pokemon.
Look, I love Zelda. I'm not trying to...
Really? How many times have you played Triforce Heroes?
Zero, because that
you
is...
You do not love Zelda.
No.
Like
I know two very hardcore Zelda fans, and one got Triforce Heroes and probably hasn't played it since launch. The other one hasn't even picked it up because Triforce Heroes is not, like... Whatever.
No,
it doesn't even...
The reason
it doesn't,
that dude hasn't played it is because his two friends who like also kind of like Zelda won't play it with him, and you need three people. That's why he can't play it.
No,
it's you.
Triforce Heroes is dumb. Ocarina of Time is great. Majora's Mask is great. The very first Zelda is great. Oracle of Season and Ages, or whatever those games are called, they're both great. I remember them. Link's Awakening, fantastic. There are a lot of good Zelda games.
Of those games are great, and two of them are the same game because they're Oracle of Seasons and Oracle of Ages.
Yeah, they're pretty much the same game. I don't know why I played both, but I did. Because you had to connect them, man. Get the bear and the kangaroo. There was another animal. I don't remember.
Wasn't there an aquatic one?
Oh, yeah. It was like an alligator or like a penguin. I'm way off. It's neither an alligator or a penguin. The game would have been better if it was. So they're remaking Skyward Sword would have probably been a better one because no one ever played it. They're remaking a very mediocre...
Wasn't that game like broken too? Just like bugged out of its... Like Sonic Boom level of bugged out of its... like own existence.
It might have been. That was the only one I didn't play.
Or maybe it was just like clunky. I can't remember what.
Well, it had the Wii controls, which a lot of people didn't like. I played through all of Twilight Princess. I remember running around as Wolf. I remember a giant portal at the end. That's all I remember. There's nothing that game did uniquely. There's nothing story-wise that game did memorable. I don't even think you use the wolf past the first 5 hours of the game, but they're selling you a wolf amiibo, which if you're a big Twilight Princess fan, I'm super sorry. That game's not good.
But see, this is exactly why I'm saying that releasing Red and Blue on Virtual Console is a good move for them, because if this is successful, then it's, and successful in a way that's more successful than what they're doing with the Legend of Zelda remakes, it's not going to be, but at least there's a chance, right? Then maybe they'll have a small team, you know, making the little conversions necessary, like, you know, in this case, adding wireless trading to Pokemon to make these games applicable to the Virtual Console. Just a small team doing that, and can dedicate all of the resources they're spending in making these HD remakes on making new IPs like Splatoon, like everyone loved.
Everyone in
quotes. Or at least just new games.
Yeah. The other problem is the amiibo problem, which I think is becoming a bigger issue. So if you're...
I can't remember. Are you still buying those, Steve?
I buy like one or two, depending on if I really liked it. Like, I bought the Captain Olimar because I really like Pikmin.
Mm-hmm.
Almost all my amiibos besides the initial like six I bought are still in the box. I don't, they don't do anything.
Yeah.
I don't need them to level up in Smash Brothers. I don't care.
Yeah, you don't play a lot of Smash Bros, so.
Am I right? Or am I wrong?
You are right. So if you're a hardcore amiibo collector, you're now spending $60 on an amiibo because that's the only way you can get the Wolf Link. Yeah. The problem extends to Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival, which is I don't know if it's out on eShop. I don't know if it's free, but if you look at all the press releases from E3, they said that Animal Crossing Amiibo Party is a free game. I don't know if that's changed. I haven't looked into it. But they then said during the Nintendo Direct that I don't remember if Digsby or Isabel will be sold separately at one point.
Digsby. It's like Diggersby and Digby mixed together.
Digby will be sold at one point, which means whatever, I think it's Isabel, which won't be sold separately, is literally...
You can get Isabel separately, but not Digby, which struck me as strange because okay. No one likes Digby.
So,
and everyone who's not even played Animal Crossing had like a brief cult-like reaction to the character of Isabel.
Oh, yeah. So Isabel will be, what, $12.99?
A gloomy old meme-level attachment to Isabel.
Isabel will be $12.99 on its own, which means you're, in reality, paying $45 for Digby because there's no other way to get Digby. And technically, that game should be free because that's what they stated. So you're paying $45 for one amiibo because you cannot get it anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
That is disgusting.
Yeah, I'm not of the opinion that amiibos are anything other than
pieces of plastic garbage that you put on your shelf.
At its worst. Well, there's a lot of worse things capitalism does, but I'm not going to say that the capitalism's greatest sin is creating the amiibo, but it's certainly a symptom of a larger problem.
I mean, it's been a year now, and they don't do anything still. Like, what they do in Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival is, like, you need an amiibo to actually play the game. So, I have Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival. Right. I pre-ordered it months ago. It showed up. I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot to cancel this. I can only play two players because I only have two Animal Crossing amiibos. So, if somebody else comes over, I have to spend another $12.99 to make sure that they can play.
But wait, the cards don't?
The cards do not work. The cards work for a different game mode. They don't work for the main game mode. You need a physical amiibo. Yep.
I didn't know that.
That's why the game was supposed to be free, because people are like, why am I spending $60? And then you're telling me I have to spend another $24 to get two more amiibos to play this game. And they were like, no. The game is free. You just need four amiibos, which equates to, you know.
Well, now it's kind of like a car. Just go back to the car analogy,
it's
right?
It's like a Dodge Dart.
You spend $30,000-$40,000 on a car, but they are not giving you the gas for free, buddy. You got to buy that gas on your own.
Well, if the game is free and I have to buy four amiibos, fine, totally. But how am I supposed to get Digby?
Why do you need Digby? He's because like the most relevant Animal
Because
Crossing
I'm speaking
character
as somebody
ever.
Who. Either one, loves Animal Crossing and the only thing I want to do is collect all the Animal Crossing amiibos, or two, I for some reason love every amiibo and I need to spend all my hard-earned cash on every single amiibo.
Well, then you've got other bigger issues than your home gaming entertainment.
Why are we talking about Animal Crossing amiibo, friends?
I know. Wow.
Because that Nintendo Direct overall was very disappointing.
I mean, I think it was quite well produced and enjoyable.
You got Steam World,
side scroller.
Not Steam World Dig, but the other one. You got that. You got the game, that other indie game that looked like F-Zero, but it wasn't F-Zero.
Yep.
You got Star Fox thing. People like Star Fox. You got some new Splatoon levels. I know we're all clamoring for some new Splatoon levels.
And that'll get me back in four more maps.
Close too.
Anyways.
You got that nice bit where Bill Trinan ate all of Reggie Fils-Aimé's donuts.
Anyway,
yeah, that can be a gem.
Look good. Those, and I know they are in like the Pacific Northwest. There's like Voodoo Donuts is only just like a few hours drive away. They could have gotten some better looking donuts than they used in that little bit. Oh,
those were pretty bad looking donuts. I'm
but
glad.
I mean, that's the point, right? Because Hungramps, the yokai.
No,
is just gonna eat anything in front of him.
No, Reggie bought snacks because they had a lot of decisions to get through for that meeting. And are you going to tell me that Reggie Villamy can't afford a better donut than something that looks like the 7-Eleven trash bin? Come on. Even if I'm hosting a meal for my staff and I don't even like the people who work for me, I'll go for Panera catering.
Virtual console. I think Pokemon Red, Yellow, and Blue should be in there without a doubt. I do not think they should have touched them at all. That is my opinion.
Okay, and you want my final opinion? This is just like Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. It's all those people who were clamoring, I want a Gen 3 remake. I want a Gen 3 remake. I want a Gen 3 remake. They get it. They shut up. They go away. All these people saying, why isn't Red and Blue in the virtual console? Why isn't Gen 1 in the virtual console? They get it. They'll shut up. They'll go away. We can move on with our lives and get some real Pokemon Z that's going to make everybody happy.
I like this. I like the way you're describing this as sort of like, it's like eating your vegetables.
Let me tell you, the best
do it if you want to grow big and strong.
The best part about the Nintendo Direct was hearing that Xenoblade Chronicles was coming out soon.
That game looks good.
Because, man, I can't wait to never hear about that game again. I've been hearing about it in Nintendo Directs for 2+ years now. I don't want to hear about it anymore. If you're in Japan, you get a really cool Pokemon Special Edition code box with Red, Blue, and Yellow. It comes with comes in a box, comes with a download card, comes with a bunch of Special Edition stickers, it comes with a Kanto map, and it comes with a Pokemon Red cartridge-shaped magnet. I'm not sure how much they sell for. I saw a yen title somewhere. It looks like these special... Each download card will be available for 1,111 yen, which I think comes to, what, 1099 in United States? Each special download code with the special box is about 1,400 yen. No details about the retail release outside of Japan has been announced. I doubt that we are getting so. Japan is also getting the green version on top of Red, Blue, and Yellow.
Oh, huh.
So, still breaking some news here for you guys.
I didn't know that.
Oh. Are we still in the news?
It was a very sloppy news segment. let's take one more quick break, and then we'll wrap up with Pokemon of the Week, and then we'll call it a show.
We'll call it a show.
And we are back for our final segment here, Pokemon of the Week. This week's Pokemon is Travis wanted me to pick a Gen 1 Pokemon because of Red, Blue, and Yellow.
I just thought it was that's probably something you would never hear me say because I'm such a big Gen like 2, 4, 5, 6 person, like everything but 1 and 3 person. You would never hear Steve say that I asked for a Gen 1 Pokemon, except in this case where I thought it fit thematically.
Electrode is our Pokemon of the Week. 101 evolves from Voltorb. Electrode is a round Pokemon resembling a reverse-colored Pokeball with mouth and eyes. Its top half is white, its lower half is red. For many reasons, many trainers try to pick it up, mistaking it for an item. Many know it by the nickname Bomb Ball. Electrode tends to live in power plants where fresh electricity is being generated, which it consumes. As a result, it often causes blackouts. The more electric energy Electrode consumes, the faster it moves. Electrode explodes in response to even the smallest stimulation, simply to entertain itself or because it has taken in too much electricity. When full of stored electricity, it has been known to drift with the wind. is your biology about Electrode here. Travis is going to get a moveset. Electrode can have the abilities Soundproof, Static, or Aftermath. It is genderless with a base stat total of 480, 140 being in speed, 50 being in attack, being its lowest.
All right, so the way... So nobody uses Electrode. Let's get that out on the table first. And for the people who do, they're using it in that really, really silly... not game mode, that's not the right term. The really silly like tier that people made up for, which is PU, which is just supposed to be a joke about how... about like the worst of the worst. It's the never used, the Pokemon that are already never used, and then the like bottom percentage of that group of fully evolved Pokemon. So people use it in that, and they like they'll use it to like set up like rain teams because it's so fast and it has rain dance. But no, that's not fun. You know what's fun? Exploding in the faces of other Pokemon.
Yeah.
So we are going all out on this explosion gimmick. Move number one, explosion. Putting it right at the top, right where it needs to be, to remind you that the number one point of this moveset is to explode and deal as much damage as possible. So you know what needs to be done.
No confusion.
Exactly. There are no moves on the set list that won't cause confusion on your opponent's Pokemon. We need some other moves because there are three other slots, so we'll at least fill them with something. So we're going to put Taunt on here. Oh, by the way, it's probably useful to know that I'm recommending Focus Sash as the item because Electrode is so fast with 140 speed. You can probably get two moves off if you fully invest in speed and then attack to get that massive explosion going. So
not timid nature.
No timid Electrodes here.
Right. So what is that? It's I don't know, whatever the positive speed
aggressive
minus special attack one is. So your second move is going to be Taunt. So you Taunt the first turn, so that if they expect you're going to use Explode and switch into like a tricky ghost Pokemon or something, that Pokemon is at least taunted. And ghost Pokemon tend to be so tricky already, you can swap over to something and take care of it, and then let Electrode come in when he's going to do the real stuff. So you get that. you're gonna include Volt Switch. I know. It's not Explosion. Why am I putting it here? But it's nice if you've got a target you know you want to explode, but your opponent doesn't have it out, and you just need to save Electrode's explosion for that one target. You can Volt Switch out, chip a little bit of damage, and you're not investing in special attack. Don't get me wrong. You're just throwing it out there. I've been explaining this so slowly because I can't think of what to have as the last move, and I thought by this much time of stalling that I'd be able to think of it.
I mean, the first...
Rollout. Why not? Rollout.
That's terrible.
But it turns you into a little rock.
What about Thunderwave?
Thunderwave's fine. Yeah. Thunderwave. It'll paralyze them, so they really won't expect it when you explode. Does he get Thunderwave? I assume he does.
Yeah, he does.
Okay. He does.
The main point is you want to explode. Yeah, you're going to put Tackle on the fourth move.
Hit that stab on Tackle.
And Soundproof is a decent ability because then there are some attacks in the game that don't affect you. Is it going to be good? No, but I mean, you picked Electrode, so...
I remember Electrode was very vital in Pokemon Stadium when you needed to take out Mewtwo and you were only using rental Pokemon. Electrode was like one of the few Pokemon that was actually faster than Mewtwo, and I think it was the fastest Pokemon that knew Thunder Wave.
In looking at Electrode, I have once again found a Pokemon move that I had never heard of before, Eerie Impulse.
What?
Eerie Impulse.
Yeah, it's an electric move.
Electric type move lowers the target's special attack by 2 stages, and no one has ever explained to me what a stage is.
Okay, I can do that.
Nope.
I guess
there are 5 stages.
I think 6, right? Because you can use Swords Dance 3 times to get up to that 6th stage.
Oh, okay.
So each one. Ooh, it's either, I think it's, so, yeah, so,
like,
a Swords Dance will bring you up 2 stages, so that will double your attack. So, I think each stage is 1.5 times the base that you start at, I believe. But I'll, you can talk about Electrode and what.
I got some trivia about Electrode here.
Let's go for some trivia.
In Red, Blue, Fire Red, and Leaf Green, players can obtain Electrode as low as, at a level as low as level 3 by catching a Pikachu in Viridian Forest, evolving it, and trading it to an old man at Cinnabar on Cinnabar Island. I'm not sure how that works. Oh, I see. You just catch a Pikachu, evolve it. When you get to Cinnabar Island, you trade it. Okay. Not the beginning of the game. Electrode has a short song dedicated to it, sung by Suwiscan.
Who?
Suwiscan.
Is that 2 names or 1 name?
Suwiscan was a Pokemon rap group made up of Inkuyai called
Suzuki-san?
Yeah.
There's a Z in there.
I said that.
No, you said Suwiscan. That's Suzuki-san. Like the motorcycle, Suzuki. I know you're all Harley Davidson life up there, but Suzuki is a brand of motorcycle, and Suzuki-san would be like the Mr. Suzuki.
Electrode also has the highest base speed of all electric Pokemon.
Hmm. What other Pokemon look like Pokeballs?
Amoongus?
Besides like Amoongus and Fungus?
Voltorb.
Voltorb and Electrode. Any other ones?
Can you
make a team of Pokemon that only all look like Pokeballs?
Yeah, you would hope that would be in the trivia, but it is not. I don't got anything else, Travis? You got the stages up?
Yeah, so I was kind of... Well, yeah, I think I was right. So at the base stage, you're obviously going to be dealing the base amount of damage that you would. Each stage... increases that amount of damage you're going to do by half. So at stage 1, say you use Dragon Dance, that increases your speed and your attack by 1 stage, meaning that their totals are now 1.5 what your base was, so 3 halves of what your base was. At stage 2, it's going to be twice, because 4 halves. 3, it's 5 halves. 4, it's 6 halves going on. And the same way does it decrease, because you go at -1, it's 2/3, at -2, it's 1/2, -3, it's 2/5. So like the denominator keeps increasing by 1, and then the numerator is 2 on each. Welcome to I Explain Fractions.
I'm still confused. I'm going to have to find like a guide on what stages means, because people in the Pokemon world use that term. They throw it around all the time, but nobody actually understands really what it means.
If you use Swords Dance, your attack is multiplied by 2.
You know what? This is like a dictionary. You can't use a word in the definition for the word. And Swords Dance is a whole thing about increasing stages and stuff. So, no. Try again.
Try again.
Okay, I'll try again. So a stage,
belly drum.
A stage is a...
Is a thing that you dance on when you are a ballerina.
It is a certain level at which your stat, a given stat, is modified. At the beginning of a battle, all of a Pokemon's stages are going to be set at stage 0, which means those stats are going to equal what they were, you know, what they are when you look up that Pokemon's stats.
plus
that stage can be raised or lowered throughout the battle by a variety of moves and effects, which increases or decreases that stat accordingly. Did I do it?
Close enough. You've already bored me to death.
You said try again.
And you failed, but that's fine.
Well, I think that's our show for you guys today. We ended on a boring note. Electrode.
And now Electrode is going to explode.
Travis, where can our listeners find you?
Twitter.com/TheTravisW.
Will, where can they find you?
Twitter.com/WashInTheSink. PlayStation thingy, Wash in the Sink. But don't bug me because I'm playing Fallout 4 and that's not a talk to other people kind of game.
Fair enough. You can follow me on Twitter as @DraggingALake. You can follow the podcast on Twitter @PokemonPodcast. Please leave us a review in iTunes. We got less than 2 months to get to 500 reviews. I think we are 20 reviews away, so please help us do that. Otherwise, this has been an episode of the Pokemon Podcast. Here we are.
Super Vault Dwellers. What's a Dwever?